Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio Spurs Zone. Your San Antonio Spurs will be having preseason game number 2 later on tonight in Miami as the Spurs will take on the Heat. Hopefully erase that bad taste in their mouth after getting pretty much smacked up and down the court in the first preseason game versus Orlando, losing big. Let's just say at one point the Spurs were down by 41 points. It wasn't pretty. Also, we're going to be discussing the Spurs' lack of another big, and could Chimezie Metu be that answer? To do this and more, I am joined by Spurs Zone contributor Zachary, the man Escamilla. Zach, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So listen, the San Antonio Spurs, they have a lot of guards, but they don't have a lot of bigs. As of right now, the Spurs will likely roll with LaMarcus Aldridge and Jakob Poeltl. Now, there is Drew Eubanks. He's been in the system for a while. But there's also Chimezie Metu. Chimezie Metu kind of opened my eyes, I don't know about your eyes, Zach, in preseason game number 1. He had some pretty good footwork. He had a nice little baby jump shot. And he's athletic as all you know what. And he also had some shiny moments with Team Nigeria at the FIBA World Cup this past summer. Zach, with the Spurs needing another big, could Metu be that answer?
I actually think he could be the answer, Jeff, and I'll tell you why for three reasons. Number one, I remember back in the draft, I think it was 2 years ago when the Spurs took Chimezie Metu, a lot of people actually had him mocked to the Spurs in round one, but the Spurs were able to take him in round two. So when the Spurs got him in round two, I just remember seeing a lot of reports. Heck, I think you even reported that they worked him out back then. So yeah. I know there was obviously a lot of interest in Metu from the Spurs. So I think the fact that he's been in the system for a year or two now, he's played in Austin, he's had that run with Derek White and Bryn Forbes, some of those other younger players. I just think his pedigree is there. He's still very young, but as you mentioned, he has a lot of those attributes that you look for in a big man. And these days, in this NBA era, you look at a guy like Clint Capela, you know, athletic, defensive upside. I really think Metu can be in that mold. And second off, I know I mentioned pedigree being number one, but number two, they do have that obvious need. You know, mm-hmm. if they're going to be starting Poeltl and Aldridge at the forward with Poeltl at the center, they're going to need some depth. Yeah, Rudy Gay provides some flexibility. He can play on the wing. He can play inside. But at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot out there outside of Drew Eubanks and Chimezie Metu that know the system. So I definitely think that leads me to number three. He's available. He knows the system. So I really do believe he's got a chance. Mm-hmm. He's got all those attributes. So we'll just wait and see. But I'm excited to see more of his play.
Yeah, as mentioned, you know, he showed flashes in game one, preseason slate, that is, that kind of made me think like, wow, you know, the Spurs may be sleeping on him right now. And I'm pretty sure they're not, you know, but, you know, they've invested in him last season by stashing him away in the G League and, of course, keeping him around. Here's the thing, though. If they're going to go with Metu, there are some negatives. And perhaps the biggest negative is we don't know if he has a jump shot. We don't know if he can hit the mid-range game. We don't know that. We know his inside game has the potential to be, basically to be a rock star, protecting the paint, in and around the rim, getting up those shots by the Spurs for easy layups, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same token, though, Zach, not like Jakob Poeltl has any mid-range game. It's not like he has some three-ball game or range in his arsenal. Mm-hmm. Do you think perhaps that his inability, that Metu that is, to knock down maybe at least a mid-range shot is hurting him? Or maybe the fact that they don't need a mid-range shot because they got tons of them with the LaMarcus Aldridge, Rudy Gay, and even a guy like DeMar DeRozan?
I would definitely have to go with the latter, Jeff. Personally, I don't think they need him to be to have a mid-range shot. I think really, you know, you knocked on all the great points in terms of what he does bring to the table. And again, you look at a guy like Clint Capella from the Rockets. I know a lot of Spurs fans aren't going to like me comparing a player to the rival Rockets, but at the end of the day, Capella is a heck of a defender and really what the modern day NBA center is, because you have so many guards and forwards nowadays where it's all about, you know, shooting that three. Of course, in the Spurs system, it's the mid-range, but they don't need Chimezie Metu to do those things when they have so many other guys. As long as he can go in there, stay out of foul trouble, block some shots, grab some rebounds, that's really all they need him from. I mean, if he gets some put-back slam dunks off of some offensive rebounds, you know, that's just gravy. But at the end of the day, if he can go in there, be a rebounding machine and a shot blocking machine, that's all they need from him. So I think he definitely is going to get an opportunity, and we'll just have to go from there and see what happens.
Yeah, he did look well with Team Nigeria. He had an incredible poster dunk that pretty much made waves across the summer. I mean, he just really put it on some poor soul. I mean, the guy was just buried. I mean, it was the funeral started the moment Metu came back down after crushing that guy. So the athleticism is there. And even in his rookie season, a lot of the veterans were impressed by that athletic ability that he has. I think it was LaMarcus Aldridge who said that the guy's playing like he's on springs. So the Spurs can definitely use that. Obviously, you know, in today's NBA, it's pretty much positionless. Do the Spurs really need to go with another big? I mean, they don't have to have another big on the playing roster, the regular season roster. You mentioned Gay. There's also Damari Carroll. Yeah, he's undersized, you know, but I mean, he's definitely a big burly dude. He can, you know, just think Draymond Green. Draymond Green's not a true center, but he still gets the job done. Now, do you think, Zach, if he does not make that final regular season San Antonio roster and he gets sent to Austin, do you think it's a slight at him?
You know, it's really tough, Jeff, because obviously, you know, I'm not a scout. The Spurs, they really do their due diligence with these guys. If for whatever reason he gets sent to Austin, then that simply means the Spurs feel very comfortable with some of the other veterans that they have on the roster. You know, I hate to use the old added, you know, saying of in pop we trust, but I really do believe that if there is a place on this roster for Chimezie Metu, Popovich will make sure that there's a spot for him.
Yeah, he definitely has his opportunity to shine as the Spurs preseason slate of games are here. And at least in one game, he showed a lot of promise and why the Spurs selected him in the draft a couple seasons ago. In a minute, we're going to continue our chat with Zachary Escamilla of the Spurs Zone. Let's continue our chat with Mr. Zachary Escamilla. You can follow him on Twitter at the Rowdy Spur Zach. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. The Rowdy Spur Zach. Z-A-K at the end.
There you go. All right. Speaking of the preseason, the San Antonio Spurs are coming off a big preseason loss. A lot of Spurs fans were ready to jump off cliffs. I don't get that, but whatever. It was just the preseason. As Lonnie Walker said yesterday after practice before they left to Miami, that is, he said it himself, it's just the preseason. But nevertheless, Spurs fans are diehards. And the Spurs will take on Miami Heat later on tonight. Zach, you know, you're new on board the Spurs Zone, and I think I discovered your hidden talent. You have a knack of breaking down preview games. But when you look at Spurs Heat, it's not a regular season game; it's just a preseason. What is something you expect? What do you want to see in the second preseason game for San Antonio?
Well, I know we've been talking about it, but I really want to see how Chimezie Metu matches up against some of the Miami Heat's bigs. I mean, obviously, Bam Adebayo is one of the better young centers in the league. So if Pop gives Chimezie the opportunity to get some burn against some of these more talented bigs on the Heat, I think that would be really fun to watch. Also, Jimmy Butler. Let's see who guards Jimmy Butler. I mean, are the Spurs going to throw DeJounte Murray on him? I know he's got that wingspan, even though Jimmy Butler's probably going to end up being their small forward. Probably play a little bit of two guard, too. But at the end of the day, if the Spurs feel DeJounte Murray's their best defender, I'm looking forward to seeing him on Butler.
Yeah, you took my thunder, pretty much. You know, if I had to look at this game, I just want to see how these young Spurs defenders, especially a guy like Murray or even Derek White, handle a guy like Jimmy Butler. Now, Jimmy Butler, you know, he can play the two. He can even play a little bit of the three, and I definitely see him do that. You know, but how the Spurs will be tested by Butler's defense and offense, it would be good to see. Now, because you talked about Butler, I'll throw in something different that I want to help to see. How about some more cohesion? How about some more communication? The Spurs coughed the ball up 24 times in the game one loss, preseason loss to the Magic. Look, obviously they're discombobulated. It was just the first preseason game, but I want to see them projecting out to be a unit. Lonnie Walker, again, spoke about that after practice yesterday in saying that they got to learn each other's games. And I think that is key right there. DeJounte is going to have to learn Lonnie's game. Lonnie's going to have to learn DeJounte. Why? Because DeJounte was out for an entire season, and as was Lonnie Walker for some of the season before getting shipped to Austin. Same thing with Derek White. He has to get familiar with those guys. So there's a lot of familiarity that these guys are going to have to do. Now, I hope Popovich doesn't bench half the team like he did in game one at Orlando. Nevertheless, Zach, is familiarity key right now?
Oh, I mean, absolutely, Jeff. Just like anything else in life, there needs to be some type of rapport. And that's really what these preseason games are all about. It's not so much about winning the games. You know, cue the Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. But right. In preseason, you want to see what lineups work, which players have a chance to make the team. And that's really what this is all about. Now, obviously, you'd like to see cohesion with any of the guys out there, regardless of, you know, one or two, maybe even three or four not making the team. So I definitely understand where you're coming from, because it would be nice to see a little bit more of a rapport, some cohesion on the court. Not necessarily the beautiful game that we saw in 2014, but at least, at least cut it down on the turnovers a little bit. So I definitely agree with you there. So, it's going to be another opportunity. Hopefully they had a chance to watch some of the film. I don't know if they watch a lot of film after preseason games, but I'm sure, you know, knowing, you know, how Pop runs the ship, he probably had them take a little bit of a look. So I'm sure, you know, they're going back to the drawing board, and I definitely expect to see an improved performance overall.
One thing you wrote about it in your preview that's already up at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio, was one Derek White. He didn't look too good in the preseason opener. It was just the opener. No reason to jump off a cliff. But you noted you want to see how he does in game two. Why is that?
Well, I definitely think he's going to rebound. He's still a young player. A lot of people forget that. And also the fact that he did spend all summer playing at the World Cup. I know he did shock a lot of NBA fans that really weren't aware of him because, you know, we're in San Antonio. Spurs are a smaller market. So you had people saying, who's this Derek White kid? But he raised a lot of eyebrows, and he actually made some plays in his limited action in the World Cup. So the guy's been working all summer, and you know, here he is going from playing with a bunch of random, you know, NBA players that he's never played with before, probably playing a little bit outside of Pop's normal system. I'm sure Pop obviously ran some of his playbook, but not the whole thing. So here he is just getting used to working with a different set of guys, and again, I expect everybody to be a little bit rusty. 1-for-9, I don't think you want to see that out of any Spurs player. No, but at the end of the day, if he's at rock bottom, there's only one way to go, and that's up. So I really do believe he's going to improve, and he needs to, quite frankly, because he's going to be a big part of this team this year, whether Spurs fans like it or not. Derek White, if he's not the sixth man, he's at least going to be one of the top three guys coming off the bench.
One final thing before we head to our final pause here. For me, I think one of the things I do want to see is just how and if Popovich decides to play Damari Carroll. Spurs fans, you, me, the rest of the NBA world have not seen Damari Carroll play in a Spurs uniform yet. I want to see how it comes out. Is he going to be that missing piece that the Spurs desperately needed last season? A 3-and-D guy. He said it himself, I believe, after the first practice of the new season, that that's what he's here for. That is his role, to be that 3-and-D defense guy. And he hasn't had his chance yet to mesh with the team nor showcase why the Spurs picked him up in the offseason. Zach, we got to see what Damari Carroll is going to do. And I think he's going to do well, but I just want to see how he looks on the court.
Oh, I agree 100%. I was actually very excited for this signing. And heck, I've been a huge fan of Damari Carroll, you know, since his playing days with the Atlanta Hawks. I've always admired his play. And heck, I even remember seeing on Spurs Twitter, folks were advocating for the Spurs to trade for him last season. So I know he already has some fans here in San Antonio that really respect his game. So I'm right there with you, Jeff. I want to see him play, and I want to see what type of role he's going to have with this team. Obviously, he does bring a 3-and-D. He's kind of a bigger forward, but he has the versatility to play the 3 if need be. So, again, with him and Rudy Gay having a similar skill set, you know, I just really wonder how Pop's going to utilize Damari. You know, is he going to have him in the starting lineup? Is he going to go with Damari at the 4 and LaMarcus at the 5? Again, there's so many possibilities, which I think is also really exciting and a testament to some of the depth that the Spurs are going to have this year. But as you mentioned, it's all about cohesion, getting it all together, getting everybody on the same page.
In a second, we're going to continue our chat with Zachary Escamilla of the Spurs Zone. That's going to wrap up our talk with Zach Escamilla of the Spurs Zone. He is one of the newest contributors out there and with News 4 San Antonio and Fox 49 San Antonio. Zach, I think if the Spurs lose later tonight versus Miami again, Spurs fans don't jump off cliffs. Just please don't do that. I mean, it's almost, I mean, they say that the gang is back, but in my opinion, not really. I remember how Pop R.C. Buford, I think it was R.C. Buford, said last season, at the end of last season, like, I'm like, okay, fine, but kind of still have a new team.
Oh, I agree 100%. I know some folks were complaining, saying, look at the Spurs. All they're doing is running it back, which I really don't think can be further than the truth. I mean, they obviously tried to be aggressive this offseason. They did come away with Trey Lyles. They did come away with Damari Carroll, Trey Lyles, who is a bit of a reclamation project for former first-round pick, still very young. You know, we don't want to bring up the whole Marcus Morris situation again. But, you know, again, they tried to make some moves. And, you know, they still have DeJounte Murray coming back, which is probably considered their biggest pickup internally after he missed all of last season. And, of course, the three guys that they took in the draft that are all going to make the team, Luka Šamanić, Gwendolyn Weatherspoon, and, of course, Keldon Johnson, which we know was a huge shock that he slipped to pick 29. So the Spurs have a lot of new additions. Now, how much those new additions play, that obviously remains to be seen. But at the end of the day, we're talking about 5-6 new players that are going to have to find roles on this team. And these other players that have already have been established, such as Bryn Forbes, Aldridge, Gay, and Pirtle and DeRozan, they're going to have to learn how to play with these guys.
Well, that time is tonight as the Spurs will visit the Miami Heat for the first road preseason game of the season. But we want to hear from you. What do you think about the Spurs preseason start? Like it? Don't like it? Still holding out, waiting for the jury to come back from presiding? What about Metu? Do you believe that he could be that missing big that the Spurs could use on the bench to spell LMA or Pirtle? Let me know at News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29, San Antonio Spurs Zone. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Zach, one more time, how can the fans reach you?
Yeah, if you want to follow me for Spurs Zone content by all of the Spurs Zone team, you can find me at the Rowdy, R-O-W-D-Y Spur Zach, Z-A-K, excuse me, at the Rowdy Spur Zach. And you can keep up with me for some Spurs Zone coverage.
You ever thought about changing that? That's a long Twitter handle.
Yeah, you know, I probably should. I just thought it was unique, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, another reason why to follow Zach on Twitter, because you never know when he'll change that Twitter name or if he ever will. But for Zach Escamilla, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.